everyone, and welcome back to the State of the Line podcast. I'm your host, Christine Pike, and joining me today are Damian England and CCI's Executive Director of Affiliate Services and very special guest, Dr. Michael Chu. He is the Chief Medical Officer of Workers' Compensation at Paradigm, and I thank you both for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine, and it's a privilege for me.
I'm very excited as well, Christine.
Dr. Chu, alongside your role at Paradigm, you are also a practicing physician and our very first external guest to appear on the State of the Line podcast. This is a very exciting day. I will also mention Dr. Chu has joined us at our recent virtual carrier education series where we talked about the medical road ahead and workers' comp. So, of course, if you haven't seen that yet, please check that out.
Yes, we certainly have covered a lot of ground during the virtual carrier education series recently. And for those who haven't watched it yet, I highly recommend it. And as our listeners already can imagine, there's so much more that can be said about advances in medical technology and how these trends can certainly impact our workers' compensation industry going forward.
Yes, you're correct, Dr. Chu. And since then, we've heard that stakeholders, as we've talked to them, wanted to hear a little bit more about the large losses known as mega claims, the aging workforce, AI, and the role of payer in contrast to the provider. We'd be here all day if we want to tackle all those, so we're not going to do that. We're going to focus on two. Today, we're going to focus on the mega claims as well as the payer and providers.
Damian, you're absolutely right. And I know that this is an important topic to Dr. Chu. I know it's near and dear to your heart. So what is changing with these big catastrophic claims, or what do you think is going to be changing in the future, perhaps on how to improve quality of life and address those types of claims?
Yeah, great questions, Christine. And I would like to first start by, first of all, clarifying mega claims. As you all know, mega claims have different thresholds for various stakeholders. So whether it be 2 million, 5 million, 10 million plus, I think everybody kind of looks at mega claims a bit differently and where it triggers it. But I think speaking just from the high level mega claims aspect, which we all know is just known as very expensive claims, I think there are two primary drivers for mega claims. And I think they're both really a byproduct or a function of what we just talked about, all the medical advances that has been available to us over the past decade. And, you know, obviously, the two factors are first, the intensity of care and the duration of care that I think we are seeing much more in profoundness and robustness in the industry. So, with regards to the intensity of care, I mean, obviously, we talked about this briefly in the past. People are definitely surviving longer and surviving more their acute catastrophic injury event. And part of this is because we have so many of wonderful advances being made in the category of what I call damage control interventions, right? So with regards to the second factor, which is the duration of care, obviously, now that people have survived the initial event and they're left with these handicaps that unfortunately require a lot more, care and support during the restorative phase as well as the maintenance phase, we have a lot more options which we can apply to the restorative intervention that include things like reconstructive surgeries, like microsurgeries that can actually transpose nerves to the muscles and to the other parts of the body to give sensation back. We have some advanced prosthetics, which I think everyone is very well aware of, including the myoelectric prosthetics that has progressed to incorporate microprocessors. And then we also have even some incredible, I think, up-and-coming novel innovations that are coming with spinal cord stimulators, exoskeletons, and neuromodulation type of techniques that are really amplifying of the options that we have to help people restore their handicaps to a much more higher level. And of course, the maintenance component is, obviously due to the fact that we are able to use these medical care interventions to keep people more stable over time and with their life expectancy to be increased, we have a lot more support needs that arise, including people that we may have to incorporate to help support these injured workers at home or elsewhere so that they can help their lives to be more productive and more vigorous. And so I think all these factors have elevated or amplified the cost of care acutely, which is front end, as well as the back end.
The technological advancements that you mentioned, they're fascinating. I mean, who would have thought of that 20 years ago? You know, it's remarkable. And I really also like how you separated into intensity of care and duration of care. All of that makes sense. And Damien, is this also what we're hearing from stakeholders?
Yeah, I mean, like what Dr. Chu had indicated, I like it too, as well as that intensity and duration, because there's so many components in there that there's a lot to capture. And carriers are thinking about these mega claims. I mean, as we talk to them, most are not seeing really an increase in the frequency of the mega claims. Some may be, and some of that may be the type of industry and businesses that they write, which we can talk about in a second. But they are noticing that these claims and the total cost are rising more quickly. You know, they're faster emerging to get to that point. And I think that's because as an industry, we've gotten better at identifying these indicators, whether it's through analytics, better data that's available that can turn, into a mega claim. For example, as you talk to carriers, and I know they all have different approaches, no one has the same approach, but I think most have a process that they call large loss reviews. So as these larger claims or more severe claims happen, it goes to a special group, multidisciplinary groups that are actually looking at this whole aspect of this claim and this injured person, looking at things like you said, exactly, Dr. Chu, what is the intensity and duration of this whole treatment plan, and what is that going to do to the total outcome and cost?
So carriers have a better idea of what a claim is going to end up costing, say, at the end. Do I have that right?
Exactly. So now they can get it accounted for as what is that total cost or total outcome to get this injured worker on a treatment plan, and how do they get that started sooner? So it's worth pointing out that mega claims do make up a small percentage of the overall workers' compensation claims. So NCCI collaborated with 9 of the bureaus at the end of last year. We actually published it on our website. I think it was in January this year. There's a study that you can read, very insightful, gives a lot of depth into these mega claims. You might want to take a read, and found that while these claims represent less than 0.1% of the total workers' compensation claims, they account for over 2% of the total loss dollars. And that's in excess of $1 billion each year. We saw in that study that the construction industry is seeing an increase in the number of claims, while motor vehicle accidents in total represent a third of all those claims exceeding $10 million.
You know, we really value the collaboration with the bureaus. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Damien, about the mega claim study. We'll most certainly link that in the show notes, so check it out if you have the opportunity. Let's go back to the point about mega claims making up a small percentage of overall claims. Dr. Chu, can you provide maybe some insights into shifts that we're seeing across all claim sizes?
Be glad to, Christine. So from my perspective and my observations of healthcare in general for over my 35 years of practice, what I'm seeing is that regardless of the claim sizes, I do believe the complexity of claims is certainly increasing. And this is due to the increasing prevalence of medical comorbidities that we are seeing in our working population. And I think you mentioned this earlier, our working population is aging, but also I do want to add that it isn't just because of age. I do believe that people with medical problems are living longer. And so we are also seeing a lot of patients or injured workers who get injured at their job, but they're living with underlying chronic health issues that typically would not be considered workers' comp. So as an example, over the past few years that I've been managing catastrophic injuries, we've had some claims that involved hemophiliacs. A hemophiliac A population is not very common, but they're out there living longer with advances being made in medical science, and they're working. And because they're working, they actually get injured, which then causes us to obviously support their needs, which include very expensive biologic medications that support their their blood deficiencies. The other factor I think that I want to note is that I definitely think as a workers' compensation industry as a whole, and Damon, you mentioned this earlier, we definitely have embraced the importance of early intervention. And I would say early intervention strategies, which include obviously, identifying, earlier those, risks that claims may experience, both in medical risk as well as behavioral health risks. And I think the workers' comp industry as a whole has been very progressive and proactive in, intervening and putting in resources to help the claim result in a better outcome.
Dr. Chu, I really appreciate the example that you provided about the hemophiliac because that provides better context and a real thorough understanding of why and how things are changing. So thank you for that. And before we wrap up, let's talk briefly about the different approaches on treatment between providers and payers. What are some of the things you're seeing?
Well, Christine, it's a great question, and I have my thoughts, but I definitely want to start by saying that there is a fundamental distinction between how providers and physicians, obviously a part of that, and payers approach medical treatments. One of the, I think the perspectives I think people need to understand is that physicians or providers in general, we approach medical care in a way that is really, the intention is to do what they feel is best for patients' medical issues holistically. And it doesn't really matter whether they get ill or injured at home or at work. We are looking at the injured patient to do good for them. And the focus is really about advocating for medical treatments and interventions that may or could help the patient, regardless of the price or the cost, as long as the patient is agreeable to the treatment. And on the flip side, of course, the payers, on the other hand, they definitely want the injured worker to get the care that's needed to recover and hopefully get returned to work quickly. So, I mean, they have to be good stewards of the financial element. And also, because of the industry's nuances, they are also screening for fraud prevention and also trying to get early claim resolution as quickly as possible. And so, I think they have these other objectives that sometimes conflict or can be perceived as barriers to the providers, if that makes sense.
And Dr. Chu, you're correct and right on that both these parties, the payer and the provider, are looking at it from a different lens. I believe from my heart that both parties are looking at that best outcome, whether it's the patient or the employee. As we all are in this collectively together, we know the goal of workers' compensation is to get the employees back to a healthy and productive life. Now, with that being said, looking at these two parties, Dr. Chu, would you say that communication between these two is probably one of the most important elements to build the strategy and game plan for that patient or employee?
Damon, you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. I do believe that most people, if not all, I mean, we all have good intentions. We behave and we act with good intentions. And communication is the most important piece. And I think as physicians and providers, if they can understand the objectives of workers' compensation, especially the workers' compensation payers, and what what the payer is trying to do to help the injured worker, then I believe that the physicians and providers will collaborate together more and cooperate together more because, they understand the needs of the workers' compensation payers as well as the patient's needs or injured workers' needs, and they will be able to find a resolution that will be beneficial for all. And so I do believe the communication piece is important, and certainly that starts by educating the physicians as to the goals and objectives of workers' compensation, because I have to say that for the most providers, 95% of the practice does not involve workers' comp. They involve general health insurance, a Medicare, Medicaid, and other types of payers that have totally different interests or intentions as compared to workers' compensation.
So it sounds like with all of our great medical advancements and new technologies, it still comes down to education and communication.
Absolutely.
And supporting a healthy system, right? That's why we're all here, to support the injured worker.
It's a great mission, Christine. And that's why, you know, obviously, Paradigm and everybody else in the workers' compensation industry, I think we all feel good about what we do. And we're chugging forward and setting an example for the rest of the healthcare industry, for sure.
You both are very engaging guests. I know there's a lot more to say about this topic and, you know, potentially AI and the aging workforce. There's a ton to talk about. So for our listeners, if you have specific questions for our guests, please reach out at insights@ncci.com. We would love to hear from you. Dr. Chu, we may have to have you back again for a future episode. What do you think?
Well, I'm always glad to comply. And it's all, like, as I said before, it's an honor for me to be here. So look forward to it.
Damien, are you up for something again?
If it's with Dr. Chu, absolutely.
Thank you both so much for spending time with us today. And again, for our audience, if you have questions about this or any of our other insights, please reach out to insights@ncci.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast by contributors from outside of NCCI are solely those of the contributor and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of NCCI. This podcast is the copyrighted material of the National Council on Compensation Insurance, 2025. All rights reserved.